Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. And let us say together, Amen. We're now in a time that can be very confusing for people who are trying to follow the Torah readings and the Haftorah readings, because the Jewish world breaks into different directions on this weekend, and the reason is Pesach. Now, for the Jews in Israel, Passover is already over. It ended last night. It's a seven-day schedule. For Jews in the diaspora, it's an eight-day schedule, according to the old tradition that it takes time for word to get out. And it can take so long that you want to make sure that the last ones who hear that it's time to celebrate have a full week. And so in the diaspora, it's an eight-day tradition. But among Reformed Jews, it's a seven-day tradition, even in the diaspora. So Reformed synagogues already finished up. And they concluded Pesach at sundown on Friday. For Hasidic Jews, whether they're in Israel or not, it's an eight-day festival. So why this becomes confusing to us is not just the different opinions, because everybody knows where there are two Jews. But what becomes confusing is, what are you supposed to read this Shabbat from the Torah and the Haftorah? And for all those who already finished up, they're moving on to what we will consider next week's reading. And for those of us who are commemorating today as the last day of Pesach, there are special readings. And these special readings are interesting because the Haftorah portion is about Messiah. And so today, in Orthodox synagogues all over the diaspora, in Hasidic synagogues all over the world, in conservative synagogues all over the diaspora, the Haftorah portion is about Messiah. Not just about the Messianic age, but about Messiah himself. And in fact, the Hasidic Jews developed a custom that was started by their founder, Israel Baal Shem Tov, known as Besht, the founder of the Hasidic movement centuries ago. On the eighth day of Pesach, they have one last Passover Seder. And it takes place on the eighth day in the afternoon, and it sets the tone for the rest of the day and into the night. And the name of this Passover Seder is Seudat HaMashiach, the feast, the meal of Messiah. And it's built around the Haftorah and the idea that at this time, as we conclude Passover, before we finish, we need to understand the Exodus wasn't the only great thing that God did. And even though we have the coming of Shavuot with the traditional Jewish remembrance of the giving of Torah at that time, there's more after that as well. And so at this time, on the last day, the Hasidic Jews are saying there's something more yet to come, and his name is Mashiach. So all over the world, Chabadniks everywhere are saying, don't finish Pesach without praying for Messiah to come. Don't finish Pesach without thinking about Messiah. And so we're going to read some to you from the Haftorah portion because it is so powerful and so clear. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 11. In that day is a phrase that will keep coming up through this reading, by Yom HaHu. But starting Isaiah 11, verse 1, a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse, Yishai, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now let me stop for just a minute and make this clear. This passage is being read today in synagogues all over the world because it's about Messiah. The Jewish world and the sages of the Jewish world agree, Isaiah chapter 11 and 12 are speaking about Messiah. Maimonides went so far as to say that you don't really have a share in the world to come as a Jew if you don't believe with real faith in a real Messiah. Now the question is, who is that Messiah? Who is that Messiah? And to answer that, before we read further in Isaiah 11, let's go to Revelation and look at two places. Chapter 5, verse 5. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Now it's important for you to understand that the root of Jesse is the root of David. Because Isaiah chapter 11 is speaking about the promise of something coming forward from the rootstock of Jesse. But the scriptures are clear that the promise of Messiah is specifically given to King David, the son of Jesse. And so these are synonyms, the root of Jesse and the root of David. The root of David is the very one who's spoken of in Isaiah 11. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Now let's turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Yeshua, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the congregations. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. So the book of Revelation tries to make clear to us what Isaiah is also making clear, that the coming Messiah has a name and his name is salvation, Yeshua. When you see that clearly, the rest of Isaiah that we will read will make even a greater impact upon you. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, Isaiah 11:2. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I want you to see something. The ministry of Messiah and the ministry of the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit are together, they're united. That's what Isaiah is talking about. When we think about the ministry of Yeshua, we think about what he's accomplished. It's important to remember what he accomplished by his atoning sacrifice, his death on the cross, his resurrection. But it's also important to understand what he accomplished by his ascension, his return to heaven, and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to think that Pesach and Shavuot are connected. The Torah portion that we read earlier today makes the connection clear. It says first Pesach, then Shavuot. And they are to be seen as a united whole. I want you to understand this so that you can have a greater grasp of what God is doing now as we're counting down towards counting up towards Shavuot, and we're preparing for that. Verse 3, he, Messiah, will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. You can make a connection between these spiritual garments of Messiah and the spiritual weapons that we have been given in Ephesians 6. It goes on, verse 6. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. Now let's go to verse 10. And in that day, by Yom Hahu, there shall be the root of Jesse. And he will stand as a banner to the people, because the Gentiles will seek him. And his resting place will be glorious. Now we see something important. In the Haftorah reading, there is the promise to the Jewish people of Messiah, but embedded in that promise is another promise, which is the Messiah of the Jews and for the Jews is the Messiah for the whole world. And that God has a plan for the Jewish people to bring light to the whole world, because he has a plan for all the nations. It's not a separate plan, it's a plan to bring in the nations into the greater commonwealth of Israel in that day. In that day, the root of Jesse will be. And he will stand as a banner to the people, and the Gentiles will seek after him. Verse 12. And he will lift up a standard for the nations and assemble the outcast of Israel. And he will gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, the outcast of Israel can be understood several different ways, but anybody who aligns themselves with Yeshua, any Jew who aligns himself with Yeshua, has some real life experience of what it means to be an outcast of Israel. But I can tell you this, the condition of being an outcast is temporary. Don't worry about it. Get over it. Let's go to chapter 12. Then you will say, by Yom Hahu in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. Hine el Yeshuati. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he also has become my Yeshua, my salvation. Ushevtimayim bisason mi ma'ane ha-Yeshua. The next verse. For this reason, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord and praise him because he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. These are the words from the prophet Isaiah, calling the Jewish people to a relationship with Messiah and to an understanding of Messiah. Now, I'm appreciative of the Chabad's commitment to pray for Messiah, even though at this moment many Chabadniks think that the Messiah is Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. But even though they may have made a mistake on that, they did make a mistake, not may. They made a mistake on that. The yearning for Messiah is good. The prayer for Messiah is good. Let me ask you if you can relate to this. Have you ever prayed for something and God answered it in a way that surprised you? Yeah. And when he answered it, it wasn't what you meant when you prayed. Have you ever prayed with such enthusiasm on those mountaintop experiences? Lord, whatever you want. And then he says, okay, I'll take something that you want. I'll take your time. I'll take your plans. Can anybody relate to this? And have you ever had that moment of review where you're saying to the Lord, you don't even want to say it out loud. That's not what I meant. When I prayed that, I thought you would understand it this way. Well, in the same way, when our people are praying for Messiah, do you think that in all these synagogues today that everyone's saying, hallelujah, we're praying for the coming of Yeshua? They're not. But you know what? The Lord knows anyway. And he will use the yearning even without all the information or even with the error. He will use the yearning for good. Many times, Sandy and I have met people, Messianic Jews, and we've asked them of their stories and their backgrounds, and it's interesting how many had rabbis who had grandfathers or great-grandfathers who were rabbis, some of whom were Hasids, who had this custom of always praying for the coming of Messiah. And you know, God heard those prayers. And he answered those prayers, and that's why their grandchildren and great-grandchildren are now Messianic Jews. But there are moments, I call it divine stupidity, where we don't know what we're praying for, but we're praying. And then when God answers, we have to adjust everything. Let me read to you some interesting words of motivation about this time. Our generation has been charged with the responsibility of making all Jews aware of Messiah. Do you agree with that? That is so weak. There are those who argue that speaking openly about the coming of Messiah may alienate some people. The very opposite is true. We're living in the time directly preceding the age of Messiah. The world is changing and people are willing, even anxious, to hear about Messiah. It is thus our duty to reach out and involve as many people as possible in the preparations for his coming. Now, you would think a good Messianic rabbi made this speech. It was Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson of Chabad who made this message in order to inspire his chassids to proclaim the coming of Messiah, to declare that Messiah was coming and that we need to be praying for and anticipating getting ready ourselves for Messiah. Would it be, even though he was wrong about who the Messiah is, would it be that we had the same motivation and the same fervor and the same commitment? I read these words to you because I want you to have the same commitment. I want you to have the same sense of responsibility. We have a responsibility to our people to proclaim Messiah. And we need to use opportunities and to recognize opportunities. Now, sometimes just being a Messianic Jew somewhere is a proclamation. Even when we don't open our mouths, it says everything. And that's one of the reasons why there are traditional rabbis who don't want to participate in events where Messianic Jews are included. Even if we don't open our mouths, or even if we say exactly the same prayers they would say, or the same words, it's because of who we are and who we declare. Do you get that? So sometimes we can be bold and confident by saying nothing and just being a Messianic Jew in a certain place. But there are times when we have to be clear and we have to be bold. And we have to make our position known, and we shouldn't be ashamed. We don't have to be argumentative. We don't have to be arrogant, but we can take advantage of opportunities. So today is an opportunity. You may run into Jewish people. You may run into Christians who don't know that today is a day dedicated in the Jewish world to the praying for the coming of Messiah and for the hope for his return to this earth. I say return because I'm a Messianic Jew. But as we're wrapping up Pesach, we need to remember the simple and most basic things. And as we're anticipating Shavuot, we need to remember that there's more yet to come. That Messiah also wants to give to us his Holy Spirit. And that this is part of the plan of God. Sandy and I were able to celebrate Pesach this year with my siblings. My brother, my older brother, my only brother, who reminds me he is my big brother. So whenever I greet Mark for the first time, you know, when we haven't seen each other for a while, he looks at me, he says, "Hello, little brother." And I say, "Hello, big brother." He's my big brother. And then four sisters of mine and then others in our family, about 30 of us were together to celebrate Passover. And I'm so happy for that, that we could participate on the day we were going to have Seder together, which was Saturday night, the second night of Passover. My sister Beth, who was organizing everything, said, "What do you have planned for the Seder?" I said, I didn't assume anything. She said, "Well, will you lead it?" And I said, "Yeah, sure. Always prepared. No matter what." Now, when she said, "Will you lead it?" what she did not mean is, "Will you do a Messianic Passover Seder for us?" And in order to preempt that, she had obtained copies of the most popular, the greatest, most widely distributed Passover Haggadah on the face of the earth, the Maxwell House Haggadah. Right? Maxwell House is based here in Jacksonville. At least they have a roasting plant here and big facilities here. So if you ever smell the waft of coffee coming from downtown, give thanks for Maxwell House and their Haggadah. So we were using the Haggadah, and I had done a little assessment with my sister. How long will this Passover take? And we had agreed 45 minutes. For the first part, and then the first part would be the only part. It's an old tradition. You do the first half, and then you don't do the second half. But that's the way you do it. So in any case, we're going through this and going through the Haggadah and covering certain highlights. And we got to a certain point where I thought that I should explain something because the Haggadah, the Maxwell House Haggadah, turned to the topic of that first Pesach and what happened, what was required of the Jewish people on that first Passover. And so I decided to use the Maxwell House text as my point of reference. And so we turned, you know, to page 20-something, whatever it was. And I said, "Now let's remember what God told Moses to tell all the children of Israel that they had to do. They had to each take a lamb, each house take a lamb and sacrifice it to the Lord." And these are just the words from the Maxwell House Haggadah. "And then to take the blood of the lamb and put it on," where? "The doorposts of their houses, and then to remain in the house to roast that lamb and to eat it that night and to remain in the house." So I was saying it just as simple and as straight as I possibly could. And then I added this. "And then the Lord came. And he went throughout Egypt looking for the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of every house." It was so quiet. Wasn't it, Sandy?
They were scared.
Yeah. They were scared. What's next? What's he going to do? And you know your family. You know how they're thinking. And so I was looking at them. They weren't sweating or anything, and they weren't scowling. They were just It was a pause. Some of them stopped breathing. So I knew I didn't have long. And then I described what Pesach actually means, that Passover in English often is misunderstood as really the meaning of two different words, pass and over. And Pesach should be understood a little bit differently, that Pesach means to bounce through an area the way a lamb bounces through a field. And we showed last week a video of a bouncing lamb. You can see that on all of our Facebook pages, incidentally, if you want to. So I just said to my family at the Seder, and so the Lord came into Egypt looking for the blood of the lamb, looking for those people who had trusted him and had sacrificed the lamb and put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of their houses and were waiting for him and his protection. And wherever he saw the blood of the lamb, he came to, like a bouncing lamb, he came to that house and he protected that house from the angel of death. And then I looked at everybody. And I know they were thinking, well, he's saying this because he's a messianic Jew. But actually, I was just using the text from the Maxwell House Haggadah. And then when I thought, they don't know what I'm going to say next, I smiled and said, I think that's enough on that. But you know what? It was strong. It was powerful. It was useful. There were four or five people at the Seder who were not from our family, but they came as guests or significant others of family members, and they had never been to a Passover Seder. And yet, they were either from a Jewish Christian background, intermarried family, or from a Christian background of some sort. And so I decided I would tell them something they might not know, that the Last Supper that Jesus celebrated was a Passover Seder. And do you know that most of those folks did not know that? It's important for us to be simple and clear, to be strong, and to be bold about our own faith and our trust. We don't have to be irritating. In fact, the point that you irritate someone, they're probably already tuning you out. But the moment you can speak to the heart and give enough that they have to think about what's been talked about, that's a good place to be. So it was a strong time for us. We were very happy to participate in this. And the family was happy. And who knows what's next. But we're all at a place where we can talk more openly about our different understandings and our different beliefs. And Sandy and I don't have to be the only ones who walk on eggshells. We're able to be free ourselves. Passover comes to an end at sundown. Your latzah matzah becomes no more matzah. But we use this time, these next weeks, to prepare for Shavuot, because the ministry of Messiah continues and requires a time of preparation and readiness where we want to continue to cleanse ourselves before the Lord in anticipation of Shavuot. And you examine ourselves. We want to pay attention to anything that needs to be cleansed. You know, you could have discovered some things during Pesach that you're not happy with about yourself. And if you did, don't tune that out. Say to the Lord, I want to clean that up, and I need your help. And then it's important to be preparatory, to clean out so that you're prepared for something else to come in. And Shavuot is the answer to the question, what should we be filled up with? Because the filling requires that we pay attention to our own emptiness and that we're aware that we need to be filled. Have you discovered any weaknesses in the last week? Any lack of strength or power or goodness or virtue in your life? Anything that you're missing? Any quality of godliness that's insufficient in you? Anybody discover that? Yeah, when we're not eating chametz, we pay attention to chametz, spiritual chametz. We're missing something. So the question is, what do we want to be filled with? And the what is a who. What we need to be filled with is the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is the work of Messiah. He returned to heaven for a purpose, so that he could send his Holy Spirit to you to fill you up so that you can be full of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people will say, well, I received the Holy Spirit when I believed 32 years ago. Good. But the scripture teaches us to continue to be filled. To be filled and to come full of the Holy Spirit. And when you come on Shabbat, you can either come in the condition of emptiness and exhaustion, and then the Lord will refresh you and begin to fill you up. Or you can come in the condition of fullness, and then he'll add to it. And if he adds to your fullness, you know what will happen? Springs of living water will be flowing out from you to other people. And so I encourage you to take notice of this, that you can come full, and that the Lord wants to empower you with the fullness of his Holy Spirit. So don't just say to yourself, oh, I received the Holy Spirit way back when. There's more of God's Holy Spirit he wants to give to you. And as you pour out, he wants to fill back up, and he wants to fill to overflowing. So remember, Pesach comes to an end, but it's just the first part of this very special season. And now we prepare for Shavuot and the further ministry of Messiah to send his Holy Spirit and to fill us up. And I hope that all of us are going to be keen to be filled up freshly with the Holy Spirit, filled up again and again with the Holy Spirit, filled up to overflowing so that we can say our cups runneth over. And being full of the Holy Spirit, then we can be used by God to bless others however he wants to use us. That's my hope for you. I'm glad that you've had a good Pesach. Congratulations, Mazel Tov, for a good Pesach. Congratulations that your hearts are turned to Messiah. Now let that same turning cause you to want more of the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, God will do great and wonderful things. We're going to close our service right now with the Aaronic benediction. And then after that, we're going to have a time to pray for anyone who wants to come forward for prayer. So please rise. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha yisar Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you, just as he did on that first Pesach. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom, his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the root of David, the root of Jesse, the lion of the tribe of Judah, our Messiah. Amen. Amen.